we just did a podcast on how we would like a wife, the value of having our own wives.
Because oh my gosh, I had that conversation with my friends last week.
Right? So all these men who are so successful, they did a study and it was like they've all got wives. So they can 100% focus on what they need to do to create and grow this business. And it made us so angry. And so I think for us to, I've never had such an angry podcast. Oh my God. But we got such great response to it because I think everyone felt it. But it just didn't seem, it's not fair. Right. And so I think it's up to us to start changing society and start changing culture by asking for help.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So today's theme is all about business. And my guest today, Sandy Connery, is the co-founder of NamaStream, an online digital platform that enables yoga instructors and wellness practitioners to take their knowledge into the online space by teaching various courses. It's a user-friendly technology, super amazing and game-changing for people in that industry. But we didn't really talk about that. What we talked about on today's podcast is what it actually means to be a woman in business, what it means to think bigger, what it means to set higher standards, but not do it in the traditional online business way, but to do it uniquely as a woman. See, part of female leadership is being able to step into our role, not to do it like men in a female body, but to do it like women from the mindset and value that women bring to the table. Sandy was articulate, interesting, and full of knowledge bombs as it pertains to the types of skills and mindset we need to be able to effectively navigate the entrepreneurial world. It was truly a pleasure to have her on the podcast, and it is a pleasure for me to introduce you to Sandy Connery. Sandy Connery, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hello, I am so excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation because my true passion in this world is helping to elevate female entrepreneurs in their amazing work that they do as innovators in our society. And you, my friend, are at the top of the list of people doing that incredible work. Can you share with our listeners what exactly you are up to and why we share this passion?
Yes. I also share that passion. I really believe that more women need to create businesses. We need more female leaders. We need more female entrepreneurs. The world needs more female millionaires, to be quite honest. And I think it's just so important that we have our voice out there and our ideas out there. I mean, it's life-changing. It's world-changing when women actually act and create whatever they have in their mind for a business or a book or, you know, nonprofit, whatever it is. I just think we need to act and we all need to be the examples, you know, so that people can see what's possible when they start their own business.
And tell us what your business is all about.
Sure. So I am a co-founder in the software company called NamaStream. And so my partner is Jenny Barcelos, and we are two women who started co-founded a software company. We are bootstrapping it. So we're a little unusual in that space. And what that company does is it is a software tool for anyone in health and wellness. So teachers in health and wellness. So yoga, Pilates, nutrition, fitness, anything in that realm. When these teachers decide they want to open or move onto the internet, there's a lot of confusion about how would I teach? Where would I put my videos? How do I take payment? All of that stuff. And that's what NamaStream does. So it allows people to teach very easily through online courses or online memberships and not have to worry about the tech side of things.
It's amazing. So what compelled you two to start this? Because I know that you both have really amazing eclectic backgrounds, but it was not necessarily in the development or tech world.
No, that's exactly right. So I had a almost 20-year clinical practice in gait analysis and custom orthotics. So I ran my own shoe store and clinic, so brick and mortar. And I did that for almost 20 years, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I just burnt out. And I'm sure you have lots of people who are in clinical practice. And there's sometimes just a point where I just can't talk to anyone about their sore feet anymore. Like, I just can't care. And that is the first sign that you need to leave when you are in practice of any kind. And I sold my business, and I knew that I was just exhausted by running brick and mortar, the amount of money we had in inventory, staffing, you know, all the things that come with brick and mortar. And I was exhausted by it. And so I decided that my next business was going to be on the internet, because I wanted flexibility. I wanted freedom. I didn't want to have to be, you know, told when, you know, doors open at this time and close at this time. I just wanted my time to be my time. And I wanted to work from home. So I very strategically looked at what my options were and decided I wanted to start a software company. And so I took a course on how to do that, not the coding, but all the other things about starting a software company, finding a pain point, you know, communicating with the developers, making, you know, the UI, like the user interface, like, how does that all work? How do I communicate my vision to the developers? And how do I pre-sell it so that I get money before it's even built to fund it? So I did that, and I started a software company called Connectable.biz. And in that process, I met Jenny in that same course. And we didn't meet till the very end. It was a live event, sort of celebrate, you know, starting software companies within 6 months. We just hit it off. And there's not very many women doing it in the first place. And we were two of the successful people that did have paying customers from zero idea to paying customers software company in 6 months. And so we were just fast friends. And there was a point where she needed to grow her company, and it just couldn't be done by her alone. And she got accepted into a tech accelerator. And part of the conditions, one of the conditions, was that she bring on a co-founder. And that's when she invited for me to join. So she originally started the company, and I joined about 1 or 2 years later.
Oh, so many juicy things to unpack
so much
there. I too came from working in the tech world in addition to health. Mm. And it really is... Well, it's a bit of a man's world when it comes to technology and development, and even the incubators and accelerators. And I mean, we can go mm-hmm. down a whole stream there. But I too agree that women are uniquely poised to really be successful and lend a different and equally important perspective to the ecosystem. What do you feel like you bring to the table as a woman in a space that's traditionally dominated by men?
I really think it's the voice and the story. When we first started, I think part of why Jenny and I just sort of glommed onto each other in the beginning, it was such bro culture. It was so like, crush it, kill it, do it, like do anything
hustle,
to make
hustle.
Oh,
then take your shirt off.
It was all about, yeah. And I was just like, I didn't even know what to do with myself. Like, I just, you know, it was all about getting your Lamborghini and, mm-hmm. And I couldn't even process, like, it meant nothing to me until I met Jenny and we started having these conversations. Like, why is it like that? Where's the feminine voice? And we really started to evolve our thinking around, how do we run a company that doesn't have to talk like that? That doesn't, I mean, absolutely, we want to make money and we are profitable and we have big, huge, you know, monetary goals, but it goes beyond that. And I think what we can really bring is a way to think about your company that's, how does it fit in the whole ecosystem out there? And in fact, we actually wrote a manifesto called The Digital Artisan, because we really want people to think about their companies. And we are online. So we talk mostly about online companies, but where do you fit? Like, it's not just, you know, like fast fashion or like the slow food movement and slow fashion. We want people to bring that kind of thinking to this online world. So thinking about who is running that company, what are their values? What are their, you know, opinions on things? Like, how do you agree with them? Or are you just going for the cheapest software out there? And so we've got a whole sort of thought piece around this, because people aren't talking about it. They aren't seeing, you know, the supply chain. Like, when you buy something from Megan Walker, who does that support below? Like, you know, we need to start thinking bigger than just like cheap and fast.
Like, how does that actually manifest in your company and how you market your company, how you speak about it? What does that literally look like out there in the world?
So things we would do is when we decide to buy or join software, use software, we take a look at who the leadership is and make sure that they hire women and people of color and that kind of thing. So we're just looking at what kind of company do they run. We want to make sure that our marketing is authentic. It is us, and we're not just making false promises or, you know, like we're really being true to ourselves and our values. And we look at really valuing in our company, we look at valuing relationships over transactions. So it's really important that if we have an employee or we work with a contractor or a supplier, that we trust them and we respect them and we're paying full price for them, that we're not trying to just do the, you know, cheapest VA out there in the market and it's sort of exploiting. So it's demanding fair prices from our customer, but also, so we don't ever give people deals or free sites or anything other than a few select charities. But we want to be paid fairly, but we'll turn around and we are going to pay fair wages to anyone that works with us.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love this idea of, well, I love the transparency in it as well, mm-hmm. because I think people mm-hmm. don't understand, right? They don't understand the ecosystem that exists with technology. It's just a website to them, but there's an entire ecosystem connected to it.
That's right. And it also, it seems like it's like a tab on our browser. It doesn't seem very real or tangible, but there are people behind there. There are, you know, lives who are reliant on the revenue that comes in from that type of business. And there's energy. Like there is a cost to anything that we do. I mean, Facebook is free, but it's not, right? Like there's always a cost. And so the world on the internet is so powerful and so vast and so amazing. It's like the greatest gift of our era. And we just want people to jump on it and use it, but use it wisely, like use it so that it supports you and all the other, you know, things that you might touch with people that you might touch.
Yeah, I love it. It brings a consciousness to something that's otherwise feels intangible.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the thinking behind your platform being focused on wellness practitioners? I feel like there's probably an equally compelling and thoughtful reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when Jenny started the company, we did a lot of research. I was here in Calgary doing my own research for Connectable, and she was in Seattle doing research to find a pain in the market to create a software company around. And she had taken yoga teacher training and was, you know, and I had too here in Calgary. And she started talking to yoga studios and asking, like, what do you wish you had? Like, if I had a magic wand, what would you want? And over and over and over again, she heard that the yoga studios wanted an easy way to put some videos online so that their members can, you know, have an online membership and access when they can't come into the studio or they're traveling or sick kids or whatever. So it was really geared, you know, hyper, hyper niche into for yoga studios. And so she built the first prototype for studios. And then very quickly, it expanded to Pilates studios and fitness studios and gyms and so on. And also not just the studios, but independent teachers, because very much there's a trend right now, I wouldn't say a trend, but what's happening is yoga teachers are really creating their own brand with their name, even though they might teach in multiple studios. They're not a brick and mortar studio owner, but they are a business owner, right? And they have their own personal brand. And so they wanted to be able to teach online. So we now, I think now have flipped so that we actually have more independent teachers on our platform compared to studios. So it was really, it started in health and wellness because I think Jenny had a passion for it. I do as well. That's my whole entire career has been in health and wellness. So I enjoy working with those people and it's really important to support those people. So, you know, if you wanted to teach violin, you could on this platform. Our messaging and marketing just will not speak to you.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And, you know, you opened earlier, we were talking about empowering women as entrepreneurs, and so many wellness practitioners who are entrepreneurs are women. Talk to me a little bit about, given this intersection of really wanting to support the broader ecosystem, around the money mindset of wellness practitioners. And well, let's just unpack that a little bit. Let's just go there.
Oh my gosh, we could talk an hour on this. Yeah, so what we see a lot is, so absolutely, the I would say like 80-90% of our NamaStream teachers are women. And some of we can see, like, we get, you know, the questions in support, and we have an inner circle where we work directly with some of our teachers, sort of an extra level, like a higher tier. And so we're talking to our customers a lot, and we're watching what they're doing. We're watching what they price. And so often they're under earning. They are not, they're pricing so low that it is so frustrating to us. And I really, like, this is part of the work, Megan, is like, I want people to think big and dream big and do big and not just price a membership for $5 a month. Like, there's, it just devalues the entire industry, right? And I think that women do this out of kindness. Like, let's make it affordable. I want as many people to join. I want lots of customers, but I want to make sure that they can afford it. And I just want to strangle them sometimes, because it doesn't do anyone a favor by pricing $5 a month. First of all, those customers are never going to go into your membership because they don't see it as valuable, because it's $5. Who cares? And it doesn't help you, obviously, because you'd have to have so many sales in a month to make any kind of significant revenue. And I think Jenny and I both really see money as power. And we all need money to function in this world. And so why not price fairly? Why not look at So in our inner circle, we teach value-based pricing. If you just did one video, if you created one video, 10 minutes, took you, you know, half an hour to organize and film, but if that changed someone's life who has Hashimoto's disease or diabetes, then what value is that person would pay anything for that? It doesn't matter that it's one video or that it took you 10 minutes, right? So we really need to start thinking from the end user, that person watching your students, what is the value that you bring? That's where you need to start your pricing from. And I think we need more women to talk about making money, enjoying the process of making money, having money, and really, you know, being proud of what we're achieving. And it's also a sense of security, right? Like, I watched my mom go through a divorce and have a really hard time getting the payments from my father, and she struggled, and it was super hard. And I don't want anyone to suffer like that. I want women to be really confident and have options in front of them and make a lot of money so that they don't have to, no matter what life throws at them, they can handle it. They're good financially. They're not dependent on a partner or family money or whatever else, you know? Like, that makes me really frustrated, and I want women to make money.
Well, I love the agency and autonomy that it gives women when they have that flexibility. And as soon as you release the limiting belief that having money somehow means that you are a perpetrator of all the bad things in this world, but that it can actually be used for good, not always for evil. It opens this incredible world of possibilities. And I say to wellness practitioners myself all the time, I say, you can't stand there authentically and say, I want to help people step into their light of full potential when you aren't willing to do it for yourself. And it really is a huge block within this industry. But I agree with you, with women in general in business, I think there is a real opportunity to empower women around this idea. I love that you speak so openly about it.
Mm-hmm. I want all of us to talk about it more, because I don't know why money is so taboo. It's like this shameful thing to have, or that you're somehow evil if you have money. And you just look at the men in the world who have money and all the things that they can do and all the things that they can influence, and women need that equal power. And so we are constantly coaching our inner circle members about their pricing, because they have a really hard time seeing the value. But even that, like, you just, how much money do you need how much money do you want? Not even need. That's how much money do you want to make a year? And you do the math backwards, like, how much do I need per month? And so how much, you know, what am I selling? What's the unit cost? Like, how many people do I need? And the higher price you go, the less people you're going to need. And so we really want to price, we want our customers to have premium pricing. If people want to do free yoga, They can go on YouTube and get it all day long. But it's really about relationships, and people want their teacher. And yeah, there's free yoga or there's free Pilates or whatever free on YouTube, but that is not my teacher. And I have a relationship and a love for my teacher, and I'm willing to pay for that because I can maintain contact as I, whatever, travel Europe in the summer, you know, like that. I think people underestimate the relationship that they develop with their in-person students, and it transfers online because they will pay you for the access to you.
What have been some of the most successful transfers that you have seen from someone who maybe runs a group in person or yoga class in person into teaching something in the online space? Like, how do they really maintain that intimacy that they're so scared of relinquishing moving into the online world?
Yeah, there's a number of examples. So I'll give you an example of Rusty Wells, who had a studio in San Francisco and had to move across the country. So basically he lost his revenue, he lost his business because he had to do this move for personal reasons. And so but he's just adored worldwide for his teaching. And so he started with Namastream, and we helped him get started, and he launched a membership for $25 a month, and he did super well, and people can access him now. So he does all his filming on his property and he puts videos up. And so what he's done really initially, he did one video every day. So one video would come up and then that would go down the next morning and a new video would come up. So the membership was only one video available at a time, which is really unique because usually it's just like a growing, you know, block of content over time. So he did it a little bit different. So he did a little like practice with me today because it's gone tomorrow. So that was a really cool transition. He continues to do very well. There's also examples of independent teachers who are just burnt out, like just who do private consultations constantly. Everybody wants their, you know, wants to be with that person like one-on-one, and they're burning out. And so we have one of our teachers out of Toronto who transitioned to coursework. So she took her teaching that she does individually. She took the main messages of it that she repeats to everyone, created a course. And so they have a DIY version to get them started, and she could back off on the privates, which were so demanding and exhausting to her. And so she was able to kind of reorganize her life so she can function, because it was really affecting her family.
Yeah, I really love the ability to move things into the online space. And I say similar things to practitioners that I work with, that there really are strategic ways that you can do that, but still maintain your voice and your authenticity. And I love the platform that you have created, because it's an opportunity for authentic people to move their voice to an authentic platform, which actually really matters.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, thank you for saying that. And I agree with you. And I like Jenny and I are two women with families and lives, and we're trying to hold it all together. And we've refused funding. We could have raised money, and we chose not to because of the way we would have had to change our company. And we walked away going, oh my God, what are we going to do? And we're bootstrapping this company. And it's like every dollar that comes in matters. And we can only spend as much as comes in. Like, we don't have a pot of $1 million, or, you know, we don't have investors that we can go raise another million and just blow through it. So we have to be very, very careful how we spend our money. So thank you for saying that. And it is, I think that their online, the technology does scare people, but more and more people, you know, if you can use Facebook and Instagram, then you can use Namastream. And we also have live streaming. So as far as that authentic voice goes, people can still connect one-on-one with their clients. It just, they don't have to like travel to a studio, or their students don't have to travel to them. Or if someone's, you know, traveling for the summer, they're still able to work, because you can just meet on the live stream, which is recorded. So people do, you know, memberships, and then they might have a higher tier where they do a membership plus a one-on-one private coaching session, and they pay a little bit more for that. So there's so many different ways you can create really cool online products.
Yeah, I don't doubt. Tell me a little bit more about how you guys balance family and entrepreneurship, because that is something that I balance too, and I'm secretly looking for new strategies every day.
Yeah, I don't know that there is a balance. It's never at one point in balance. So sometimes there are periods where we just work so hard, you know, every evening, weekends, and we just have to ask for help through family. Or I have a 14-year-old, so he's getting, it's so much easier after age 10. So the last couple of years haven't been so bad for me because he's really, you know, he can do pretty much everything on his own now. But it is a matter of being aware of what stage you're in. So sometimes we go hard, as I said, but then sometimes we can back off. And there are no hours for us. Like, we both work from home online, obviously, and there's no 9 to 5 or, you know, start and finish. It's just sort of a blur throughout the day. We do what needs to be done. And then if it's slower, we take a step back. And if it's busy, we're hard at it. And so I think for us, we just did a podcast on how we would like a wife. The value of having our own wives.
Because I had that conversation with my friends last week.
Right? So all these men who are so successful, they did a study and it was like they've all got wives. So they can 100% focus on what they need to do to create and grow this business. And it made us so angry. And so I think for us to, no, I just, I've never had such an angry podcast. Oh my God. But we got such great response to it because I think everyone felt it, but it just didn't seem, it's not fair. Right. And so I think it's up to us to start changing society and start changing culture by asking for help. And so that means I'll ask my husband and say like, look, I've got this, these next 4 days are brutal. Like, can you be responsible for these meals? And, you know, and to my son, I'll ask him to do something. I need to start asking for help because if I don't, it all ends up on me and I'm just broken. I'm just broken, you know, just done. And so we see that all the time. We hear about that all the time. And so Tiffany Dufu, have you read her book?
I haven't.
Drop the Ball. That was a huge game changer as far as that idea of balance. And she is a super successful woman out of New York. And she just, her husband and her have split things up and do things equally. It's an unbelievable story. It is super, super helpful. So I think it's us asking for help is really what I'm saying. And I think that it makes it so hard and we feel like we should, but we shouldn't have to, but we have to because no one will do it. And it's this terrible circular logic.
Yeah. And I love that you just said we have to ask for help because I do think sometimes we as women, we martyr ourselves.
Yes. Yes. We do all the time.
For some unknown set of limiting beliefs around that idea. And you do just ask for help because you can't do it all. And people ask me, they're like, how do you get it all done? And you know what? We came out of a really intense last 6 weeks and my husband picked up a huge part of the weight in our family. And that was the reason that I was able to move forward. And I'm transparent about that because I also want women to realize, you know, if you're in a situation where you are on your own or you're trying to make ends meet, you're going to have to call in reinforcements. Like you really, you can't be the Instagram version of yourself at all times, nor should mm-hmm. you be.
Yeah. And I think what's often our husbands will help. They just don't know that we need it because we've just done it all before. So if you just ask for help, they'll help. And then sometimes they do things better or more efficiently or a way that you never thought of. And you're like, oh, why have I been doing that way for so long? So I just think it's an awareness. We also really try to balance offline, analog, you know, like making a real effort to get offline as much as we can, because you can just, as we all know, we can get sucked in so deeply. So that's a real point for us, is that we need analog time versus always being digital, if you will.
If you could do it all over again, Sandy, like just switch something about this journey, what would you do differently with the wisdom you have now?
I would have aimed higher in the beginning. I would have believed in myself earlier. And I think that would have made a difference. We wouldn't have wasted our time with the accelerator. I would have sought out mentors who were ahead of me, like are ahead of us, you know, as far as business goes. I think I would have aimed higher and been that would mean I'm making more money right now.
I love that advice. We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. And I think a perfect place actually to transition to the second half of our interview, and I call these our KPIs. So just like we have KPIs in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. So we've got a few rapid fire questions coming for you.
Sure.
Who is inspiring you right now?
Kelly Deals, feminist marketer, and Brooke Castillo.
Hmm.
Do you know her?
I don't.
Brooke Castillo. She has a podcast called the Life Coach School. It's all mindset. It's talk about having women in your life that make, she's like a $10 million business. She wants to do 100 million. Just so inspiring the way, what she teaches is inspiring, but also how she runs her business. And it is just so good. And Kelly Deals is a feminist marketer out of Victoria. And she's like talking about changing culture and women in business and, you know, internet. She talks about the feminist, lifestyle empowerment brand, how all women look the same on the internet with, you know, blonde, tall, thin dresses, you know, blowouts. And she's fighting against that there's, you know, there's more than one type of person out there making money on the internet. So yeah, she's so good. I love everything that Kelly Deals writes.
Amazing. I'm going to check it out. What is your audacious goal for the next year?
I want to buy a house with my business so that I create my own little work. I work from home. I'm struggling with it a little bit. So I'm going to go buy my own house that I am going to, is my office. But it's going to be an investment.
Yeah. Amazing. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Bulletproof coffee every morning, no breakfast.
Brilliant. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I think it's that I started a software company with $0, zero experience, and raised $16,000 from customers before any line of code was written.
That is badass.
Right?
Yes. What do you do for fun or play?
Mountains, hiking, scramble in the Rockies.
And finally, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
100% born this way. No discussion.
Amazing. Sandy Connery, you're up to amazing things in this world. Where can we send people to learn more about you?
Sure. So our website is namastream.com. But mostly we hang out on Instagram, which is at namastream.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for hanging with us today.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks, Megan.
Good episode. If you want to learn more about what Sandy and her business partner, Jennifer Barcelos, are up to with Namastream, head on over to meganwalker.com/episode127. We will link you up in all of the show notes. And like always, if you enjoyed today's podcast episode or feel like someone else would enjoy it, please feel free to slip them the link that you find on our website. And as always, we totally appreciate your love. A review on iTunes would be something that we would really appreciate. We thank you so much for listening, for hanging out, and for doing the awesome work that you're all doing in this world.